sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom Brady in 2013,
yeah,
discussing the importance of OTAs.
Because I've heard that, you know, he's saying these things because of Jimmy Garoppolo being here. So here's the follow-up after Brady's answer.
You know, that's part of the learning process, and also learn how to play for the Patriots and understand the criticism that you're getting, and hopefully use it constructively so you can improve as a player.
How inquisitive has Tim been with you on the field these last couple of days, or even in the meeting room, just as he's been?
Did he say Jim? Like in Jim Garoppolo?
No, I think he said Tim.
Tim is in Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Folks, we're in 2013, where OTAs were still important to Tom Brady prior to Jimmy Garoppolo's arrival.
That's right.
Okay? This is the Aaron Hernandez era. Things were going on in Aaron Hernandez's life at the same time. So let's make sure we get the timelines correct here, to be fair to everybody. Jimmy Garoppolo made Tom Brady a better quarterback. Tom Brady responded well late in his years here, to where he put himself in this position, to where Jimmy's not even here anymore.
Bruins were in the Stanley Cup Final when this was going on.
How about that?
Beetle was planes, trains, and automobiles all over the country.
Was I?
Huh? Did you go back and forth to Chicago?
That's
back
right.
And forth, back
oh,
and forth?
Man, we oh, did. Oh. Did we go once or twice? How many times did we go? We went once. Start of the series. Yeah, we went at the start of the series for game one.
Which you guys were sitting at like a high top table in a bar on TV?
I want to believe that was on a Thursday. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I bet the boss was there peacocking by your table.
Mike went with us.
Oh, yeah.
We went and we flew. It was five of us. It was, this is going to be story time. I don't want to do
That's
this.
Okay. Real quick, go.
Me.
Felger.
Felger. Maz. Mike Thomas, our boss,
yep.
And Jason McKenna, our engineer.
Good.
Five of us flew in. We were there for less than 24 hours.
That's crazy.
Triple overtime game, game one, Stanley Cup Finals, slept for 1 hour.
Wow.
In that 24-hour trip, made it back to the hotel in time to sleep for literally, I think, like 90 minutes before we had to leave and go back to the airport for an early morning flight back. It's quite the whirlwind.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what you do in this biz, though.
That's story time. Okay. But you're saying this all was going down before Jimmy Garoppolo was here, so that's not a reason to take it out of the equation.
It's not just all of a sudden Brady doesn't feel pain or all this and that, but I think he's found that Alex Guerrero and what we're really learning here is very important to his mindset, his well-being. Again there, prior to the Tim Tebow question, Brady talked about you need to learn as a young player that you're going to get criticized by this head coach. And how is it going to make you a better player? And how are you going to use it and apply it to your craft so you become a better player? And then you fast forward 5 years to get to this point, or 6 years to where we're at now, and like that thing's kind of come to a little bit of a head.
So you're saying if Garoppolo was here, he'd still be sitting out?
I don't know.
Good way of phrasing it, Jim.
It's good. I wouldn't think so.
No way he'd be sitting out.
Because he was telling us last summer he doesn't even get sore. He knows how to fall and take a hit now. He's Gumby.
But if Garoppolo were still here, he'd be competing for the job at this point.
What would those stats look like if Garoppolo was here?
Wouldn't he? Wouldn't Belichick be looking for an excuse to try and put Garoppolo in?
What stats? The stats from
OTAs? If they had paid him? Especially if they had paid him on a short-term deal and Garoppolo was in OTAs and Brady wasn't, they'd be looking to hand him the job. But that's not how it played out because they couldn't do that. Oh, whoa. We got something?
Stats from OTAs.
You have something? We just wanted to play
stats for it.
Oh. Sorry. Janet's in Arlington. Janet?
Hi.
Hi, Janet. How are you?
Hi.
Good. I think
that when Belichick put his own personal agenda first at the Super Bowl instead of the team, the whole team just cracked apart. And that was the end of people or Brady sacrificing for the negligible return.
Woo. Big words.
I mean, if you want to follow that to its what I believe the logical conclusion that sitting Butler played a part in them losing the Super Bowl, then yeah, I think that all makes sense. Because if they win the Super Bowl, do you think Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady are there at the start of OTAs?
Yeah,
me too.
I do too.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a direct cause and effect. You know, the Bill Belichick, and it's a 100% personal decision not to play. But I don't know because he won't answer the question, and nobody will even ask him.
I think there's
well,
some
he also
level.
Had, like 2 hours to think about it. He could have changed his mind when he saw it was a disaster.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's personal. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Decision was made. Decision was made.
Why?
This is what they're questioning right now as a team.
Right.
Because from everybody that I've talked to, they knew he was not starting. No chance to start.
I mean, seriously, all this stuff about
supposedly heads are on a swivel.
They're over there at Alex Guerrero's right now. They're doing TB12 yesterday, doing it again today. I mean, she's right. Why? Why are they there? Because he didn't play Malcolm Butler. Actually, if you want to put it in, if you want to boil it all down to one thing.
Who carried you in the second half? Who kept you in the game final two quarters?
Can I ask the same question?
Two guys that are TB12.
If Jimmy Garoppolo is here, they still didn't have an answer about Butler, would Brady be there?
Yeah, I think he would.
Yeah.
So how much of it is about Butler?
It's everything. It's Garoppolo. Guerrero. But it's Butler.
You know what,
it's
Jim?
Contract.
I don't know.
Garoppolo not being here has allowed him the opportunity to be pissed off, is what it does. It allows him the opportunity to not show up.
Garoppolo not being here allows Brady to control the situation. For the first time.
Yeah, it does.
Ever.
I never realized he was such a control freak, because he's being a control freak right now by staying away.
He's got the upper hand.
Like 50 yards away.
I'm starting to not feel good now. That's good. Play the Edelman video, kid.
Maybe he doesn't show up to camp, but he'll be sitting in the bleachers outside on the
bike. Here's the deal. We'll just ease him into it.
Only certain players could not show up and expect to pay or have zero consequences for not showing up, right? Tom Brady will have zero consequences for not being in an OTA.
Do you remember
Rob Gronkowski? Same thing. Now you could say, "Oh, they're voluntary, so there are no consequences for anyone who doesn't show up." I can tell you that there most certainly always are those consequences for guys in the form of playing time or opportunity during training camp or the number of reps that you do. The guys that put in the most work, generally speaking, get the most opportunity and the most chances to prove themselves. Okay, so by default, the guys who are not there doing that work are going to get less of that opportunity. That applies to just about everybody within the Patriots system. That doesn't apply to Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski. Those are different level players.
Right.
So what I would love to know is, are there any guys in that mandatory minicamp today who look at Brady and Gronk and say, you know what? Good for them. Good for them. Man, I'd love to stick it to Bill and not show up today and have that level of control. But, hey, I'm just, you know, whoever.
All right.
I can't pull that off and not expect to pay for that.
I personally asked one of the higher-up players on the team. I said, not having these guys there, has this created a rift in the locker room? He laughed at me and goes, hell no. If anything, it's made us work out harder because we know when those two are back, it is on. So we better be ready.
What would that make sense, though?
That they're taking care of themselves, getting ready.
Okay. What? But the question is, how do they feel?
That never happened.
But how do they feel about Brady and Gronkowski?
No, I believe...
Do they say, good for them?
I believe someone said that to you, Zoe, but I don't believe the majority of the locker room feels that way.
This person
guys,
still...
we got to be ready for when Santa comes.
Yeah.
You better be good, because Santa's coming soon, and when he shows up, Brady and Gronkowski are back. We got to be
honest. You'd be hard pressed to find anyone who's upset with either one of those two players in that locker room.
Do you think they're working extra hard though? Because
no,
they want to be
no.
at their best.
I call bull crap on that.
So do I.
But I would say you'd be very challenged to find a player in there who's upset with either of the two guys who did not show. And that's interesting if true.
It's Butler.
You just talked about working hard in the offseason. Can you almost guarantee that Hoyer's going to get one of the parking spots?
Can we Belichick's not talk about give it, Brian Hoyer ever?
No, but Belichick's going to give...
never make Brian Hoyer...
He's going to give Hoyer one of the parking spots just to stick it to
Brady. Loves Hoyer. Brady loves Hoyer.
And Hoyer will probably be like, oh, how long... Nice walk in, Tom. I'm parked right here.
He loves Hoyer because he knows Hoyer.
You think Hoyer's going to get the planters on each side?
Here's what's going to happen, though. One of these young
Toyota Camry.
And here's what Brady. This is why Brady likes Hoyer. Obviously, he's not a threat. Obviously, he's one, not a threat to play.
No one, though.
It's a family car.
He runs the offseason program for him. But he also knows this, and Brian knows what I think. So that, say this Berrios kid screws up something. Hoyer's going to grab and say, when Tom gets here, he's going to want you to sort of wall the route off a little bit more, cut this flatter. Here's where he's going to expect you to be. So those are the little things that people really don't talk about. That does go on. Remember when Butler showed up late prior to an OTA and he
missed a
benched?
Flight, right? Weather, something like that.
You didn't see him for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So the OTAs that year, those weren't voluntary. Was there more to this Butler thing that we really didn't get news on? That really came to a head that week of the Super Bowl.
Yes, there's a lot more to the Butler thing that we don't have.
I think there's stuff.
That's the point.
I'm not trashing it, but I'm like,
no, not trashing.
Wow, all of a sudden we're told this year they're voluntary. But it wasn't voluntary when Butler showed up late to it. And then you didn't see him for 2 weeks. Like, what the hell was going on? And were there other things that we never heard about? I don't know.
Forget about Brady and Gronkowski.
Your point,
sitting up in the,
you get special... You get special privileges.
Forget about those guys sitting up in the bleachers watching, the first mandatory session. I want him to pull a Kelly Leak and roll up on a motorcycle.
Yes,
smoking a cigarette. Yeah. Let you get out of here.
Hardy, you know, on him and Giselle and the kids at the front of that gate, when that gate opens and that herd comes out, them being right in the front, running to the stands.
And then sliding down the hill when they lose their footing on the grass.
Fat guy just pushes them out of the way so he can get the first autograph.
Yeah. Your calls on the Celtics and the Patriots next.
Zolak and Bertrand. It is no longer wise to ignore it. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Time to do it.
At this point, is there still some engagement between you and Tom? Is he still ignored?
Yeah, we're great friends. I mean, we talk all the time.
Tom has mentioned wanting to spend more time with his family. How do you do it? You're a father yourself. How do you balance football with your family life?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's, individual, perspective is different. For me, it's been crazy because of my journey. There's a lot of times where I'm away from them, because I'm on a new team, trying to find a house. So it's tough. I mean, I think everybody sees, obviously, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. There's a lot of great things that this job provides, but I also think we make a lot of sacrifices as players to be away from our family, put our dreams first, and that's really what it comes down to, and that's kind of a realization I've come to over 10 years of playing, is our family sacrificed a lot for us, and obviously we sacrifice a lot from being away from them. So it's tough. You try to find a balance, especially, like I said, the off season. I saw Mike, he pulled up next to me on the street the other day and reminded me to drive a little bit slower, and he asked how the family was doing, and I said, it's the off season. It's always great. I can always, take my kids to school, pick them up, things that I don't always get to enjoy during the regular season.
Brian Hoyer still talks to Tom Brady on a regular basis.
Getting updates.
In this offseason, and...
it's not an easy ride for Hoyer. He lives in Newton.
For him, the offseason is great because he gets to spend a lot of time with his family. He still found the time to show up today to OTAs.
My buddy lives in Newton next to Hoyer. Says, nice guy, grills all the time with him. They hang out in the driveway, grill some meat and drink some beer. Just a regular guy.
Oh, they grill meats?
Yeah. Oh, man, this team.
Paulie and Denham.
Paulie.
We're just going to hang up. Dave is in the car. Dave.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, go ahead.
Hey.
Good. First off, this stuff is just driving me up a tree, all this off-the-field drama. But
why?
A little bit. That's just, I think the Patriots have always been immune to this kind of thing, and that's one of the things that have helped them to concentrate on getting their job done, and I hate to see all that unravel.
Do your job.
A little bit of a silver lining take. if this is about the whole Guerrero TB12 thing instead of Butler and, you know, having a hissy fit, then doesn't that put a lot of heat on both Brady and Gronkowski to have an outstanding year this year? If they're going to say, you know, I know better than you, my training program's better than yours, don't they then have to come out and prove it?
Yeah, but how much time do you give them? I heard somebody talking, touching Rich this morning. Rich said something along the lines of, if, you know, they get out to a slow start, everyone's going to point back to this and not being at OTAs, not being ready. No, they won't. Because the Patriots get off to slow starts enough
years. Slow start last year.
2-2. It's like, no big deal. Everybody understands. And, you know, we've been burned on this enough times. I have. After that Kansas City game, I was ready to write off the franchise for the next 10 years. Total rebuild. They're done. And they go on and win the Super Bowl, you know? So it's going to take a lot more than a slow start or even Brady and Gronkowski not playing the best they've ever played to make people say, see, they don't know. There's a very long leash with this team, at least in my mind, much longer than it was 3-4 years ago because they keep proving that.
Probably
it
true.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
Probably
week in,
true.
Week
but Hardy, think of it this way. The Patriots with, or I should say Brady and Gronkowski, right now, are sending a message that they're at odds with something, okay? If they don't have a good year, don't you think there will be criticism that
absolutely
their minds are elsewhere?
Yeah.
Or they're not as committed as they've always been? Or if something has changed for these guys?
But they need to have a bad year. And what are the odds
a bad year with this team?
Right.
10-6, 11-5?
Yeah, wild card.
Right?
Wild card.
That's a bad year for these guys.
Schedule doesn't look that difficult. You don't have crazy West Coast trips. You're not going to Mexico.
But the record doesn't say it all. I mean, it's like, what if it's defense?
Oh, it's health.
You know, what if the new defensive coordinators and new, I don't know, the special teams isn't pulling their weight. If Brady and Gronkowski, what would it take for them to truly have a bad year?
See,
and those guys are just, they're too good to go out there and just all of a sudden suck. Either one of them.
You brought up that Kansas City game. And since that Kansas City game, what happened? They've been to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. Why didn't they go to the Super Bowl that one year? The other year? Remember what happened in Week 17 in Miami, the Steven Jackson game?
Couldn't run.
We're gonna run the ball. We're not going to throw it. That they were going to gamble on health and get healthy and go play a game on the road. Was that for the betterment of the team? Who made that decision? Maybe Brady looks at that and like, we would have beat Carolina with 2 weeks to get ready for him in San Francisco, my hometown. He didn't play Butler. Probably would have beat Philadelphia if Butler played. We may have won 4 in 4 years as opposed to 2 in 4. Now, there's other ways to look at these too, you know. So, I mean, the players are always going to question decisions that are made to put the team in the spot, and Brady's always backed it on that. Like, he makes decisions. He's the coach. We play. Coach makes the call. Are they starting to question some of the calls that are being made? I don't know.
Melvin in Boston has a Celtics thought. Hey, Melvin.
Melvin!
Hey, how's it going? So I called last Friday, and Beto told me I was cooked for saying J.R. Smith would shoot the Celtics lights out, and that's exactly what he did. He went 6-for-10 in the past 2 games, and you literally told me I would be cooked for thinking that a man who went 0-for-7 and is known for streaking off would streak off. So I want you to eat that.
The
beat you got stepped on. Yeah. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Melf. It's a good call.
Told you.
He's dead.
Eat it.
That he did.
Got me good. Yeah, things weren't trending well for J.R. Smith going into that Cleveland game at the end of the week.
What?
Things were not trending well for J.R. Smith at the end of last week.
When
he was down 0-2,
going
back to Cleveland, when that call came in, he was going to stick some J's in your face.
Well,
he scored 20 points combined over the last 2 games, and that's the guy you want to throw in our face?
Yeah, eat that. Eat those 20 points, Beetle.
His 9 points last night? That's what you're getting excited about?
Eat it.
That J.R. Smith is going to kill the Celtics?
Just eat it.
With all this motioning to the crowd, you would have thought he had 30 last night.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's a hero.
Somebody else hit a shot, and he's yelling to the crowd to get up.
He's very demonstrative.
He loves him some LeBron coattails, doesn't he? Like, you know what? Yeah.
No, that's true. J.R. Smith,
remember
over
when
4
were,
games.
Remember they were celebrating
in this series,
his shirt off?
Yeah. Has a combined 24 points in the series. Yeah, I'm worried about J.R.
Hey,
Smith.
Hey, LeBron, can we...
Look out for J.R. Smith.
LeBron, can we go to bar and take our shirts off again? wave him around because we're the champs. Yeah,
yeah. Like you didn't like his 3 of 9 from the floor last night. You didn't like that.
In your face.
Eat that. You kidding me? 3 of 9 in 33 minutes. You didn't like that, Beatle?
J.R. Smith is the reason they
lost. Yeah, no, it totally was.
The Celtics.
Last night, I look at that game last night. I say, damn, J.R. Smith got him again. Now, if you had said, hey, I called about Kyle Korver, and I thought that Kyle Korver's performances here in Boston were overrated. Last night certainly wasn't.
Last night was the same as game two.
No.
The same as game two.
No.
He scored a bunch of points in the first half. He went on a little run.
Didn't feel like
it. Didn't he hit like 9 straight shots?
What, Korver, what did he score, 14? What did he have, 14 last night?
Korver, yeah, the Korver call would have been better there.
I think he scored 12 in the first half.
6 straight shots? What did he have? He
had 14 points last
night.
He
didn't stop one of them.
Yeah, 14 points. He had 12, I think, the last game when I said he was effective in the first half. And you guys all killed him.
It'd be nice to extend the defense out a little to get a hand in that guy's face, you know, when he's coming off that pick. Just right there around that left arc, right there.
Maz
had a good tweet. Korver had more rebounds than Morris last night, by the way. Just let that ruminate for a moment.
Yeah, he played defense last night.
There were times you wanted Morris off the court. When he was out there, but you knew he had to be out there. Isn't that the?
Here's a good tweet.
Isn't that the mind bleep though? That you know you need Morris.
According to the stats on NBA.com from Tony Maserati on Twitter, Cavs collectively went 8 for 12 against Terry Rozier in Game 4. 18 points and 6 assists coming against Terry Rozier. Paulie and Denham is back.
Jesus,
are you kidding me with that? Don't call back today. We'll do it tomorrow.
He told Tom he apologized. He had his phone in his pocket in the mower going.
What was that? He's holding it outside the sunroof as he's driving.
He had the phone in his pocket with the mower going.
No, that's 2 tries. Brian in the car. Brian.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hi, Brian.
So with the whole Brady and Gronk not showing at OTAs thing, when you break it down in its simplest form, Brady and Gronk have one thing that a lot of guys in that locker room don't have, and that's job security. Who was the one guy that really gave Brady a run for his money when it came to his job? He's in San Francisco right now. So, for one, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And two, there's really nothing that's driving Brady and Gronkowski to really get after it in OTAs and compete for their jobs. They know what they have, and I just think at the end of the day, it's that big of a deal.
Is that the only reason you should show up? You're competing for your job?
Not necessarily, but...
All right.
Again.
We can all admit that.
Again, I go back to 2013 when Brady was asked questions about a Tim Tebow. Did he have any job security threat from that guy?
No, it's just that there's some value in OTAs. It's not the end of the world. The season's not ruined. They're not going to get out to a bad start because they weren't at OTAs, but maybe you could get out to a better start if you were at OTAs.
See, but minicamp,
get on the same page with all your other receivers, including some new ones.
Minicamp, you're doing orchestrated, 11-on-11 blitz, where you got 17 reps, defense has got 17 reps, and let's go. Let's call it. Now that's where, oh, man, you're missing some stuff here with some new guys. That's where you got to make sure Isaiah Wynn's got the right call. Checking it down to David Andrews. Hey, Michelle, get in the game. Let's see if you re-blitz pick up here. Ernie, I'm going to get the kids some reps. Get him in there. Let's see, just Michelle, kid. He can pick things up. Live blitz action. That's where it's key. I don't do it around Hoyer, though. You want Brady in there moving guys around. Can this kid make a call? Can you trust him on the road? Well, when you get that stupid Ed Sheeran here at home and we're playing on the road, and Brady's stadium's rocking and Brady can't hear, can Michelle make the call if he's in the game, trusted as a rookie?
Coming up next, I will tell you how you can go to Celtics-Cavs Game 5. We will have tickets for you. I'll give you the details coming up next. And also, I think what will be a bad take that Brad Stevens is incapable of beating Ty Lue. Yeah. We'll get to that coming up next, too.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Al Horford after last night's 111-102 loss in Cleveland. You guys lose the edge in this series, you think, maybe?
I don't think there's, people talk about, who has the momentum and this team won, so they have the momentum,
Right.
I think each game, it's its own. I do think that we played much better than we did on Saturday. And, we're going to learn from this game and go back home and protect our home court.
That will happen tomorrow night. Game 5, the series tied at 2 games each. Out west, Houston trails 2-1 in the best of seven against Golden State. Golden State has home court tonight for Game 4. Red Sox visit the Rays. Chris Sale to the mound at Tropicana Field to get things going just after 7 o'clock. And both Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, according to Karen Garigian, getting treatment at TB12 yesterday and again today, while many other members of the Patriots team participated in the voluntary OTAs just a few feet away at Gillette Stadium. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston area, the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit GoCSB.com for more details. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, you want to go to Game 5? Who doesn't want to go to Game 5? Game 5. We have your tickets right here. Right here on this very show. Tomorrow at 10:50 a.m. we will give away a pair of tickets to Game 5 to the Garden.
Woo.
How about that? How's that sound? All you need to do, be listening tomorrow right here on Zolak and Bertrand at 10:50 a.m. we will give away a pair of tickets to that game. Very hard to come by. Very difficult tickets. Artie's putting 10:50 in his date book for tomorrow right now as we speak. He is writing it down. He's taking a note. 10:50 a.m.
Gotcha.
A.M. Meanwhile, today, FS1 talking about Game 4. Here is a friend of the show, I'd like to say.
Oh.
Nick Wright. You know, back when he was just a radio guy.
Up all night?
What did I just say?
Nick Wright.
Nick Wright.
You're thinking of the old Todd Wright from ESPN.
Okay.
Different Wright.
All right. I used to follow that guy when I did mornings.
No. Nick Wright, who used to do radio in Houston. Remember he called us that time?
Oh, Teddy J, right?
When he did work with him, I believe.
That's right, for a little bit.
But he had
to take
that.
Is he the one that hates Wallach?
I don't know. His take was at Kansas City. Remember that? He came on with us to talk about how the Chiefs are going to beat the Patriots.
Just house them.
And that was like mid-season.
Thanks, Nick.
Well, now he's gone to much bigger and better things at FS1. He's very, very popular now. Here he is on Brad Stevens and Ty Lue.
I've been president of the Brad Stevens fan club, or maybe vice president to our friend Chris Mannix. Ty Lue made the adjustment. Ty Lue said, I'm inserting Tristan Thompson into the starting lineup. People were curious about that.
It works.
Brad Stevens has not readjusted from there. So if I'm going to elevate you to one of, if not the best coach in basketball, you got to have a good counterpunch to Lue's counterpunch.
Yeah, to be the best coach in the NBA, which you said.
Right, absolutely.
You said he was.
I said he's the best coach of the NBA.
It's time to make some adjustments.
I don't know what to be upset about there. I think I'm upset about the credit that Ty Lue gets for putting Tristan Thompson in the lineup. Should we go back and replay the audio of Ty Lue saying he's putting Tristan Thompson in the lineup? And he was like,
Did we even say that before we even heard Ty Lue
the
audio?
Analytics, the analytics told me to do it. What? Everybody who watched game one,
yeah.
Everybody knew that it was going to be better for him to be in the lineup.
The first thing we talked about, we
why are we treating that like it's some
10.
Sort of master stroke by Ty Lue?
I don't even remember, Dave.
Stop it. But the criticism of Brad Stevens, the inability to adjust in game last night, I think is a fair one. I don't know what the difference would have been, but I can tell you there are things we saw in that game that you just didn't love.
Yeah, I just think the start of it, too. I mean, you've gotten behind the eight ball to start both games here, the ones that you've lost, and it's sort of been a fight to get back into it, even though you couldn't make up any part of that distance that you could in game three. You fought better last night. You started to come around and play better in the third. You didn't finish quarters. He's got to go. He's got to start Baines. He's got to start Baines, right? And I know they talked about it on that NBC Sports Boston with Tommy and Mike and Scal and them. And they talked about the lineup when the starting lineup came out. And Tommy said, hey, This is the right decision because you're going to the day. You're going with what brought you to the dance. This is a lineup that he likes, that he started with, that got you here. So go with it. I think now you got to change that lineup, right? Because momentum is starting to swing. Seems like
they're going back home, though.
Pardon me?
They're going back home now. They won with that lineup 2 games at home.
Okay.
It seems like he's being stubborn to do. He's going to stick with his guns, saying, I trust my process.
Why does a lineup work better? Now, all of a sudden, you think Kyle Korver's going to come to Boston and get ice cold?
Maybe.
I think Cleveland's going to continue to do what they've been doing for 2 games now. I think they've started to figure some things out.
You seem to think this thing's over.
I thought it was over last Wednesday.
I did.
You thought it was over the other way.
I thought you were coming back home 3-1, and all you got to do is win one more out of the next three. Jesus.
I think Brad Stevens' comment last night was a good one. He said, hey, best of three for a trip to the finals. What's better than
that?
You know why I think
night?
That's important that he said it that way?
I thought they would split in Cleveland.
And then I hear the guys that cover the team and travel with them and the way they speak after it, like, well, guys, series has changed. LeBron has arrived. And he's here and he's
That's going because there. They're prepping for the possibility of losing and making it all feel okay when it happens.
That's why. But didn't both losses feel different to you? We talked about this yesterday. That I would still feel okay as long as they don't get blown out last night. Now, I know double digits is there.
Listen,
but they had
game three was worse than game four. Yes. I don't know how people don't see that. Game three was a worse performance. Last night, you shot yourself with a 15 combined. Missed layups and missed dunks. 15. And you know what? The Cavs, off of those, scored 15 points of their own. You can make the case that that's a 45-point swing.
I know that, but as good as LeBron was last night, a 44-point night, you started to have them on the ropes a little bit. You started to hurt them.
Yeah.
You got that lead was big.
That's why I don't feel that bad.
It was there. It was going to 6.
I don't feel like it's that bad compared to Game 3. Game 3, you had no answer. Cavs took it to you, and you had no shot.
Yeah.
Last night, you had a shot.
That sequence.
You just didn't take it.
You had it to 7. You missed the foul shot. You should have had it to 6. They go down. They hit a shot, and it's back to 10. Like that.
This team can win games at home, and that's been proven.
Okay.
They are
energy in the building.
And should be winning at home, and I expect them to win game 5.
Do you think if that was a close game, instead of 11-point game, if that's a 2-point game in the final minute, do you think they win the game?
I have no idea.
LeBron could have gotten to the rim anytime he wanted last night.
That's true.
They need to do something defensively. They need to do something on the defensive end. Maybe it's starting Smart instead of Rozier. Maybe it's not even switching Tatum. Maybe it's starting Smart. I don't know.
I'd try that.
What, Kyrie Irving Jr. can't be in the starting lineup? No.
Well, I know that you wanted to trade Kyrie and just roll with Terry Rozier next year, but I was never in that.
Are they flying Bledsoe back again for these home games? They flying my buddy back. I'm sorry.
Maybe you start Smart and Baines, and you have Morris and Rozier come off the bench. I don't know. Something's got to give, though.
Thank you.
I could deal with a little less Marcus Morris tomorrow night.
But that's the mind bleep because you know that he could play well in stretches and you need him defensively. You gotta combo him with Baines though. You gotta go big. You gotta start big tomorrow night. But maybe you don't because you're playing at home. They fill the home court magic. I don't. It's like you do. Damned if you do. Damned if you don't. I mean, to me,
people forget in game two that Cavs team had a lead. They had a 9-point lead in the third quarter. With Tristan Thompson, and they switched to Baines, and the Celtics got the lead in game two.
Ended up
rowing away and running away with that game in game two. But the Cavs were in control of that game at the start of the third quarter until Baines came in for Tatum.
And it's the effect of the 20 to 21-year-old feeling more comfortable in their own building. Those young kids play better at home, period. And they ain't going to miss dunks at home. They ain't going to miss breakaway dunks at home. They won't miss layups. Just a different animal for them on the road in the playoffs until they figure it out. Maybe that's in 2 years, and maybe it's in 1 year. I don't know.
But. Today's takeaways on Zolak and Bertrand are next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaway.
HOAs with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right. Time now for the Awaken 180 Weight Loss Takeaway of the Day. Take away your excess weight for life. Official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Awaken180weightloss.com. Big day tomorrow, Beetle. Big day. Giving away Celtics tickets for Game 5.
10:50 a.m. tomorrow. Yep. We'll give away Celtics tickets. Dan Shaughnessy will be with us tomorrow. He was not here on Tuesday. He will join us tomorrow.
Yep. I think we talked to the head coach, too. Brad Stevens.
Brad tomorrow. Stevens tomorrow with yes, Shaughnessy.
Right.
Right? So Shaughnessy 11-1.
Hey, Brad.
We'll talk to Brad Stevens at 12:50, or what, is that the plan?
As of now, yeah.
As of now, 12:50.
They occasionally try to change in the morning, but depending on meetings.
We'll see what happens, but we'll talk to the head coach, Brad Stevens.
Hey, coach.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Brad. Shaughnessy.
Hey, Brad. Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe.
Maybe we'll have Shaughnessy practice his first question to Stevens
Ooh,
tomorrow.
Ooh, I like that. Shaughnessy doesn't have a problem with his first question.
Yeah, he asks questions for a living.
His questions are stupid.
Zoe's question. Zoe needs practice. No, there's nothing wrong with it, getting some practice. Have your first questions been better since we started practicing? Okay.
Let's do it now.
All right. Do I do it right now?
Right, yeah. All right. One dry run. Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics, getting ready for a big Game 5. He joins us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Coach, you looked pretty upset when you were out of bounds and that ref was next to you and the ball hit him and he said he was inbounds. What were you thinking about there?
I thought the ball was out of bounds.
Try it again.
All right, one more.
Yeah, one more.
Do it one more.
Brad Stevens joins us now. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, series all knotted up. It's best of three now, huh?
Yep.
All right. We're rolling now. You guys are such dicks.
One more?
Nope, we're good.
Okay.
One more. Come on. Yeah, one more. Third one time's more. The charm.
All right, Brad Stevens with us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Coach.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Coach, remember when you said Marcus Smart wasn't going to shoot? He had surgery, and it's the NBA, and it's a shooting hand that he's got the brace on. Do you cringe sometimes when he launches a three?
Oh, my God.
I got to go.
Oh, my God. That was the worst.
All right. I'm going to start. I'll go
What's
first.
What's it like watching the purity of Ray's shot as it goes in?
Who is that? Rachel Nichols, right? Doc, right here. Doc. What's it like watching the purity of Ray Allen's shot?
As it flies through the air toward the back.
Shaughnessy defended her to the tilt on that. I'm like, Jesus. Okay, Tommy Heinsohn last night. And this is why I have concern now, even though I thought the series was over last week. Tommy Heinsohn post game, give me a little reality check. And
bottom line.
Let them go.
What, you can't get a good laugh out of Bobby Ramos' bottom line?
I have no clue what that means.
You don't? You remember that guy?
I don't remember anything.
Oh, he was the best.
I've selective memory.
Selective memory.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Who's Bobby Ramos?
We'll cover that another day.
Good question.
I'd like to know what happened to him.
Bobby on the left.
Bobby Ramos, bottom line, coach. Yeah. You gave San Antonio the credit, and you mentioned a couple of times that you're in the finals. How does a team in their fourth finals come out in the finals, their first home game, and get beat to the ball to get stomped the way they did? The kind of heart that your championship team has to come out tonight like they did mentally has to be something that's a problem.
Clearly.
That was Coach Spo, right?
And if you were to answer that question, the answer will be the bottom line. Bobby Ramos, bottom line.
I'm going to ask a 1-minute-and-45-second question. All right, Tommy Heinsohn last night sort of, and I think all Celtics fans rely on Tommy to get him juiced up, tell you things are going to be okay, but here's Tommy Heinsohn last night.
We are now back to reality here. Reality of relying on a second-year player to score 20-plus points, a rookie to score 20-plus points, a point guard in his third year who got his starting opportunity about a month and a half ago, him to score over 20 points. And, boy, I'll tell you, they've taken us a long way This is the balance of this series is going to be a tough one for the Celtics.
Here come the excuses. Here they come.
They're pumping that 20 and 21.
Too
that,
young.
That was a story
too,
of the week
too
last
young.
Week. 20 and 21 year old kid carrying you. Now it's a problem. That's that scares you going into game five.
It doesn't scare me. That's I think they're going to be fine in game five.
Yeah, they're home.
I don't think they're going to collectively lose their minds.
Those
like
two
they did
kids
last
won't get
night.
Intimidated on the road.
They will. Rattled. Rattled on the road. The Celtics, incapable of winning on the road. My takeaways are this. New sounders for OTAs,
if you don't mind.
Well, what do you have?
Because I have a coaching one also.
Oh, okay. Then
so it's Ty Lue, and it's when he was asked about, well, some personnel decisions regarding Terry Rozier.
Ashley Bastock, Metro Networks. Ty, can you just talk about how you guys were able to continually utilize that those mismatches against Rozier in your pick and roll sets?
No, ma'am.
You can't give me anything. You can't give me anything.
You are better. I'm telling you, better than Jason Lloyd, but I cannot answer that question. I'm sorry. Hey, listen, you're really good, but I don't want to. I mean, keeps. Okay, get a follow up. I'm sorry. We want to have the movement. We want to try to take advantage of mismatches, and you know, Rozier's a tough. You know, he's a tough fighter, tough competitor. But, you know, if you try to get switches, you know, I guess he's the one you want to try to go in with Kevin and Bron because, you know, the other four guys are the same size. They're strong. They're physical. So, you know, the way they play, you got to try to take advantage of the mismatch, but they don't have a lot on the floor.
Didn't want to give away too much. Yeah, by answering that question. So good for him. Very cagey. Chess match.
I don't think he knew.
You want to give it away?
Well, he reminds
me of Belichick.
Know.
Well, maybe he doesn't.
He reminds me of Belichick.
Mastermind.
Yeah.
Say nothing. Give them nothing. Mine is related to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. We had OTAs today. Phase 3 has begun. Media availability for the first time. And that means we had tweets from the media for the first time. Excuse me, the first time.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Sounder.
Tweets from OTAs.
Okay, now that was the problem. One. That was the bad one.
That was
so
a
we had to go back. We had to go back to the workshop.
I have two interns in there.
Try it again. Try it again. It improved.
Tweets from
OTAs. Better.
It's not.
Better. We also had stats from OTAs today. Stats. Stats
from OTAs.
Better.
Honestly, it gives me a raging headache.
The improvement in show, though, cannot be denied.
Headache's built in.
I can deny it.
No, you can't. We just listened. We should all agree that it got better as the show went on.
I should stir his iced coffee with my finger.
Do it.
Don't do it. Stop. Don't do it.
We've heard Mass when he doesn't get his Joe.
He's so looking forward to it.
He's an animal.
Chase you down in that zero turn.
Seriously, for good laugh, gravely the lawn cutting machines. Check out Maz if you have it on Facebook. Mona's own lawn. It is worth the watch. It's hysterical.
We can't find the video. We've been looking for it all day. Someone email us with a link. We can't find it.
It's like that Jerry Lewis Holocaust movie. They've put it in the safe forever.
He's in heaven.